our Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. We're going to look at a colourful character from the life of David, a man by the name of Abishai. Abishai and his conduct with David. 1 Samuel chapter 26. The title of my sermon this evening is Supporting the Leaders in Your Life. Supporting the leaders in your life. 1 Samuel chapter 26, there's some wonderful lessons from this passage of scripture in the life of David and Abishai. Let's read verses 1 to 6 and then we'll pray. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way, but David abode in the wilderness. And he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched or camped. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of drawing nigh to you. Lord God, you promised us in your word that if we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. And we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. We would indeed draw nigh to you. Lord, we crave and we desire your closeness and your power upon our lives. So teach us from your word this evening how we can serve you more effectively. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our main text is found at the end of verse number 6. Where Abishai said, I will go down with thee. Supporting the leaders in your life. Chapter 26 deals with the fact that David once again spares King Saul from death for the second time. The first time was back in chapter 24 at a place called Engedi. And with Saul's confession in that first incident, we would expect that that was the end of it. Well, here we are in chapter 26, and the Bible teaches us that a group of people that lived in an area called Ziph, the Ziphites, which incidentally were related to David, they were also from the tribe of Judah through the line of Caleb. They were, back in chapter 23, they were also involved in betraying David, and once again, they inform King Saul that David is in our area. And Saul, upon receiving this news, the Bible teaches us, he assembles a great army of some 3,000 chosen men to seek after David, the Bible teaches us in verse number 2. And then the Bible goes on to read that David tactfully abides in the wilderness in verse number 3, and he watched and he observed the movements of King Saul. And then in verse number 4, the Bible teaches us that David sent out some spies seeking to discern the movements and what Saul's intentions are. And then in verse number 5, the Bible teaches us that David courageously arises and makes his way towards where Saul has camped for the evening. And there he finds Saul and his men and Abner there, one of his chief men. And there he finds Saul in the trench. And David turns around to a gentleman by the name of Ahimelech the Hittite, and also there was another gentleman there with him by the name of Abishai. And David asks these men, "And who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" So if you can just envision the situation here, there's David and there's Ahimelech and there's Abishai, and he's just observing and watching the movements of Saul, and he observes and he turns around to these men and said to these men, "Now, which one of you will go down with me to King Saul?" And the Bible teaches us here in verse number 6 that Abishai raises his hand and said, "I'll go down with you." I'd like for us to note a number of lessons from the life of Abishai with David within this particular context. Once David assessed the situation concerning Saul, he asked for a volunteer. Abishai steps forward and said, "I will go with thee." The name Abishai is a beautiful name. Once again, we have the portion Abi, Abigail, father, Abishai, shy. The portion shy comes from a Hebrew word that means gift, the father's gift. One interpreter said literally the word Abishai means generosity, a gift given in generosity. So, a wonderful name for really a wonderful man. He was one of David's great men. Abishai was a nephew of David. He was one of Zeruiah's children. Zeruiah was one of David's sisters, Joab's brother. So this is one of his nephews that said to David, "I will go with you." He had the command of one of David's three divisions, according to 2 Samuel chapter 18. Abishai, later on, we will read in 2 Samuel that he is responsible in killing a Philistine giant. And in one occasion, this man was responsible of withstanding 300 men and slew them with one spear. He was a great man. This is the first time that Abishai is mentioned in the scriptures. And his name is mentioned within the context of David seeking somebody to go with him, to support him. And I'd like for us to learn some lessons from the life of Abishai concerning supporting the leaders in our lives. See, we're all under authority in various areas of life, are we not? And I would like to think that we see the importance of supporting that leadership structure, or those leadership structures. We have the leadership structure within the home, do we not? We have the leadership structure within the workplace, within the church, within civil government. We're all under authority in some form. And I hope that your attitude is one of support towards the leaders in your life. And that was Abishai's attitude. The question was asked, who will go with me? The question was put forward to a man by the name of Ahimelech and a man by the name of Abishai, and it was Abishai that said, I will go with you. And Abishai was basically saying to his uncle, I'm going to support you. I'm going to go down with you. I want to stand by you. I have no doubt in my mind that was Abishai's intention. And I like to think that you and I have good intentions in supporting our leadership structures, the leadership structures in our lives, whether it be within the context of the home, whether it be in the context of the workplace or the church or whatever it might be. I would like to think that you and I, like Abishai of old, would say, I'll go with you. I'll support you. But my question this evening is simply this. Was Abishai a support to David? Was Abishai a support? His intentions were good. He was a loyal man. He was a great warrior. But was he that support? Was he really the father's gift in David's life? Now let me ask you, what type of a support are you in your home? Children, are you really supporting your parents? Do you understand that within your home there is a leadership structure? Let me ask you, children, this evening, what type of a support are you within the home? Consider the workplace. I like to think that you are seeking to be a godly testimony within the workplace, and I would like to think that you and I within the workplace would seek to be that support to those that we are under. But are you a support to those that would be your leadership? I believe that Abishai failed to effectively support David. Outside of providing some company, we'll note here from chapter 26 that Abishai does very little. But yet his intentions are good. And I just want to stress the fact that I think so often we as God's people can have good intentions. And we're sincere in our desire, we're loyal in our spirit to be behind those leadership structures within our lives, but really when push comes to shove, the support's not there. Let me illustrate in the life of Abishai. The first lesson I'd like for us to note is found there in verse number 8. Let's just read verse 7 just to keep the context here. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. So Abishai said to David, I will go with you. And as David and Abishai made their way towards the exact location where Saul was, they're all fast asleep. And note then verse number 8, what Abishai said to David. Then said Abishai to David, verse 8, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. I'd like for us to note first and foremost that Abishai made an assumption. Actually, a couple of assumptions. Assumption number one, that this was an enemy. Did David ever say to Abishai that Saul is my enemy? Not a trick question. No. So he made that assumption. Assumption number two, he said that God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand. There's a couple of assumptions here that are made by Abishai. In other words, he had his mind up concerning what this situation was all about. Abishai assumed that Saul was an enemy of David. Now, as far as David was concerned, we don't ever read that David referred to Saul as an enemy. You won't find that in the scriptures. You'll find loyalty and respect for this kingdom that has just gone a little bit bananas. But yet he honored him and he respected. Never, not once, will you read that David considered Saul an enemy. So Abishai spiritualized the situation by giving credit to God and said to David, David, Uncle David, God has delivered our enemy into our hands. Abishai should have simply asked, what's your goal in this, David? And brethren, I think that so often we can sincerely desire to be a support to our leadership, those leadership structures within our lives. But I'm afraid that sometimes that we, like Abishai of old, assume things that are not really where it's really at. David never said to Abishai, we're going down to kill my enemy, King Saul. Correct me if I'm wrong. He just said that. He assumed. And I think sometimes we can fail to support our leadership structure because we have all of these assumptions in our mind. We have our mind made up. Instead of the fact that Abishai should have said to David, now David, what do we do now, David? What would you like to do, David? You asked me to accompany you to Saul, so what are we doing now? No, he jumped and assumed. And I think sometimes children, listen to me. Some of you have made some assumptions concerning some of the standards your parents have in the home. You're just assuming certain things in your mind. And I'd like to encourage you as children, if you really don't understand why mum or dad have a particular standard within the home, let me encourage you to simply ask, Dad, why do we do this? Why don't we do this? Because I think so often you can say on the one hand, I want to support you, mummy and daddy, but really within your mind, you've got some assumptions as to why mum and dad do this and don't do that. And you're not going to support the leadership structure in the home if you just rest on your assumptions. Maybe for some of us, some of the wives present here this evening, maybe your husband has set a budget within the home, and really you're just assuming as to why he has set such a budget. I'd like to encourage you, ask the hard question, dear, why are we working towards this budget? Assumptions do not provide effective support to leadership. And even within the context of the church, that procedure that pastor has in place, don't just assume that you understand what the setting is. You might need to say, Pastor, why do we do this? I'd be happy to answer the question. Now, if I can't answer the question, well, it might be good for me to consider, yes, now why do we do it this way? Don't assume, brethren. Ask. This is how we support leadership in our lives. Are you getting my point? Never did David say to Abishai, we are going now to kill my enemy Saul. No, no, no. He assumed in his mind. You might say, well, why didn't David share his strategy with Abishai? Good question. Maybe David assumed that Abishai remembers back to that first incident back in chapter 24 when David spared Saul initially. Maybe that was David's mindset. I don't know. But may I say that your leadership, those leaders in your life, don't have time to explain everything that they do. That's impossible. So instead of just assuming things, ask. That's how you'll support leaders in your life. Simply ask, don't just assume. I believe that was one mistake that Abishai made. Lesson number two this evening, let's continue to read verse number 8. I'd like for us to note haste in the life of Abishai. Look at verse 8. Abishai went on to say, "Now therefore let me smite him." Let me at him. Uncle David, let me kill him for you. I sense some haste. Bearing in mind the context here, David has just stood back and watched and observed the movements of Saul, has sought to understand his strategy, and tactfully David said to Ahimelech and to Abishai, "Who will go with me?" So you can just see from the life of David, everything is just slowly but surely just assessing the situation. And here we find David and Abishai, who knows how far Saul was from them, but obviously couldn't have been that far. And Abishai said, "Let's get him. Let's smite him." I see haste here in the life of Abishai. It was David that carefully observed and sought understanding concerning Saul's movements, verses 3 and 4. Now, with Saul literally before him, Abishai wants to kill him. It's been well said, haste makes waste, does it not? And we have an issue with haste in our home, with some members therein, and it can be a wasteful procedure. Haste does make waste. And we see in the life of Abishai, he was sincere in wanting to help David, and he said, "Let's kill him." Brethren, I believe we need to redeem our time, do we not? And not waste the opportunities that God has given to us, but yet we need to be careful that we do not run ahead of God. Where does David say to Abishai, "Okay, we're going down to kill King Saul"? Not a trick question. He doesn't say that. So Abishai assumes, and he's hasty. Brethren, to be hasty, to rush ahead of our leadership, is not how we convey support. In fact, you might be guilty of creating problems for your leaders by being hasty. An employee, for example, that might hastily go out and spend monies without authority. Or a ministry leader that might give out information about an event that has not been finalized. Or what about this? Chewing somebody's ears off only to find that you completely misunderstood the situation. Haste can get you into trouble. Abishai was hasty. He said to his uncle, "Let's kill him." Don't be hasty. Beloved, we need to be spirit-filled. We need to be willing to wait upon the Lord, and we need to stay under the umbrella of authority in our life and not be hasty. Be filled with the Spirit, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Not once did David say to Abishai, "Abishai, we're going down to kill the king." So where does Abishai get that from? Well, he's made some assumptions, has he not? He's assumed this is David's enemy. And he's hasty. Don't be hasty. That will hurt the leaders in your life. Do you really want to be a support to those leadership structures within your life? Don't be an Abishai and don't be hasty. I think Abishai could have asked, "What now, David? Am I right or not?" Yeah. There he is, David. What now? What do we do next? What's your goal? What's your purpose? I'm here to support you. But wait a minute, Abishai is saying to King Saul, "Oh, your enemy's right here, David. Let's kill him. I'll kill him for you." That's not support. Lesson number 3 is also found in verse number 8. Are you still with me this evening? Do you want to be a support to the leadership structures in your life? I trust you do. I believe Abishai desired the same. But was he? That's my question. I see haste. I see assumptions made. And thirdly, I see self-confidence. Look at verse number 8. It goes on to read, "Let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. And I will not smite him the second time." Boy, I reckon Abishai's pretty confident. Would you agree with me? He's pretty confident. He said to Uncle David, "Uncle David, just give me one shot. That's all I need. He's going down, my uncle. One shot, one go is all I need." Don't you see the self-confidence in Abishai? Abishai was certainly a willing servant. No doubt had the ability to do exactly what he said he would do to Saul. But David was a man that lived in dependence upon God. Abishai should have realized that. But yet I see from the life of Abishai here, I see a man that was very confident. Self-confident. See, self-confidence will not help your leaders. Do you desire to be a help to the leaders in your life? Well, dependence upon the Lord will be a help to your leadership structures. But self-dependence leads to pride, and that is destined to a fall. Our dependence needs to be in the Lord. See, pride leads to a fall. Failure is always a possibility because we are only flesh and blood. Yes, Abishai had all the abilities in the world. He was a loyal soldier for David. And he said to David, "David, all I need is one shot, and I'll fix him for you." Self-confidence doesn't help the leadership in your life. If you're on a roster ministry, to have an attitude, "Well, I know what to do. I'll be right. I know what to do." Well, that might not be a good attitude. You might be better off saying, "Well, I'm going to trust God to grant me the grace to fulfill this ministry." That might serve your roster leader ministry far better than having the attitude, "Well, I'm okay. I know what to do." Dad, wouldn't you prefer your son to say to you, "Dad, will you just show me step by step how I can mow the lawn without chopping my toes off?" As opposed to our children having the attitude, "Well, I can do this. It's just a matter of starting a motor and pushing the thing along, and it does it all for you." And that's teaching you. Son, to mow a lawn can be a very stressful thing. Dads, am I right there? I think I am. Because we know the potential of that blade. Blades, I should say. But I would rather a son that is cautious and is not self-confident, that is more of a support to me as a leader, than to have a son that has the attitude, "Oh, that's easy, Dad, I can do that. You're just pushing this little four-wheeled cart around and it's doing all the work for you." Abishai was self-confident. Abishai was a man that jumped to some conclusions, assumptions. Abishai was hasty. Lesson number four. Go down to verses 11 and 12, please. Are you still with me? Do you really want to be a support to the leaders in your life? Don't just assume. Ask questions. Don't be hasty. Wait. Be patient. Don't put confidence in your abilities. Rest in God's power upon your life. That's how you support the leaders in your life. Lesson number four. Look at verses 11 and 12. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. This is David talking to Abishai. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. Note verse 12. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster. Can you see what's happened here? What happened in verse 11? Who asked who? Listen to me. Who asked who? Get the spear. Grab his water bottle. David asked who? Abishai. David said to Abishai, Abishai, it's not right that we attack the man of God. I want you to go into Saul's camp, grab his spear, grab his water bottle, and bring them back to me. But then we read in verse number 12, so David took the spear and the cruse of water. David told Abishai to grab Saul's spear and water bottle, did he not? But it was David that did what he asked Abishai to do. Lesson number four. We see negligence in the life of Abishai. And this fell back on David to do what he asked Abishai to do. The very man that said to David, David, I will go with you. Now, what was he saying by that statement? He was simply saying to David, I'm going to support you. I'm going to go with you. He wasn't just saying to David, look, I'm just going to be some company for you. I'm going to be just somebody that you can talk to. So you don't get lonely. I'm just going to hang with you because you're my favorite uncle. No, that's not what he was saying. When he said to David, David, I'm going to go with you, he was saying, I'm going to support you. But here David said to Abishai, Abishai, go into Saul's camp, get his spear, get his water bottle, bring it back to me. But we read in verse number 12 that David ended up doing what Abishai should have done. The principle of negligence. When we fail to fulfill our responsibilities, somebody will have to step in. And more than likely, it'll be your leadership. Really, what real benefit has Abishai been to David so far? Come on. Be honest with me. Zilch. Do you think Abishai is loyal to David? Do you think he likes David? Yes. Do you think Abishai has another agenda? I think he's there because he wants to be a support to David, but I don't think he really is being much of a support. And I think sometimes we sincerely want to be a support, but really when push comes to shove, we are not a support because we simply don't fulfill our responsibilities. See, when your leadership structure makes a request of you, let me tell you, or let me share with you how you can support them by simply doing what you've been asked to do. Now, is that complicated to work out? Is that difficult to understand? If you want to be a support to mummy and daddy children, teenager, and mum and dad ask of you, please make your bed every day. Once you wake up at the beginning of the day, make your bed every day, not once a week. I know you'll jump into that bed within 24 hours, but that's beside the point. Make your bed every day. You make your bed every day. But if you don't make your bed every day, guess who makes your bed? Mum will probably make your bed because she can't stand to see a bed not made properly. So your negligence puts pressure on your leadership to do something that you should have done. David said to Abishai, you get the spear, you get the water bottle. But who gets the spear? Who gets the water bottle? David. Negligence. And I believe there's a lot of negligence within our leadership structures. Can I just be sweetly honest, church family? My wife is often picking up after many of us. And sometimes we just do not do what we're meant to do. And guess who picks up after you? My blessed wife. And your pastor does spend a lot of time picking up papers, putting things in the bin, switching lights off, doing things that really somebody else should be doing that is not being done. And children, do you realize that mum and dad probably pick up after you? I think we all know where the dirty washing bin is, do we not? Where all dirty clothing goes. And I think if you are, you know, I think we know procedures within our family units, and when you and I fail to fulfill those procedures, then we put pressure on our leadership. Now, I'm not complaining, I'm just being sweetly honest this evening. Your pastor spends a lot of time putting things away, putting rubbish in the bin, turning things on, turning things off. So we all know where the hymn books go, do we not? Where do the hymn books live? They live under the church pew. It's very simple. But just about every week I spend time putting hymn books away. See? Just little things, but what that does is that puts pressure on somebody else. And they could be doing something else. So when we fail to do what we're meant to do, i.e., Abishai, get the spear, get the water bottle. Abishai, get the spear, get the water bottle. Who gets the spear? Who gets the water bottle? David, the show must go on. And that's how leaders think. The show must go on. So if Abishai won't do it, guess who does it? David does. That's exactly what happens. And brethren, if we want to sincerely be a genuine support to the leadership structure in our life, then take note of those instructions that are given to us and fulfill them. So if you are asked of a David, get the spear, get the water bottle, do it. It's as simple as that. And last but not least, another thought from verses 11 and 12. Maybe, just maybe, Maybe David, in turn, decided that he would get the spear and he would get the bowl of water because of what Abishai said back in verse number 8, which was, "Let me smite him." So could it be that maybe David, as he requested of Abishai, "Abishai, get the spear, get the water bottle," stood back and considered that request and thought to himself, "Hang on, he might not get the spear. He might, you know." So maybe David said, "Look, I'll get the spear, I'll get the water bottle." Maybe there was an ability to trust. Maybe. I can't prove that. But that's a strong possibility, is it not? Because back in verse number 8, Abishai said, "Let me kill him. I just need one go and he'll be fixed for life." For death. And may I say to you, my friend, this evening, if you want to be a support to the leadership structure in your life, be trustworthy. Be trustworthy. If you're not trustworthy, then that's a pressure. That's a pressure upon your leadership to not be trustworthy. Can you and I be trusted with the responsibilities given to us? So could there be an issue of David just couldn't trust Abishai to do what he requested of him because he was afraid that maybe Abishai's zeal would get in the way and he would grab that spear, okay, but I'm not sure whether he'll bring that spear back to me without blood on it. Now next week we'll study David's response to this whole situation and his confrontation with King Saul. But just for this evening, I'd like for you to consider the thought that Abishai genuinely wanted to be a support to David. But my question is, was Abishai a support to David? I don't believe he was. Because I don't see any fruit of real support outside of Abishai providing some company for David in this whole chapter. And I think there's a lesson for us in that, because I think we can sincerely desire to be a support within the leadership structure, within the home, children, spouses, within the church, church family members, within the workplace, within the area of civil government. We can sincerely say, "Yes, I want to support you. Yes, I will go with you." But let me ask you, what type of a support are you really? Really? What type of a support are you? Are you a support? Or is it just that you desire to be a support, but really at the end of the day, what sort of a support was Abishai really for David? Talk to me. We don't see any evidence. Outside of the fact he was hasty, he was confident, he didn't do what he was told to do. Oh, but was he sincere? Yes! Was he loyal? Yes! Did he love David? Yes! Was he on David's side? Yes! Yes! He said, "I will go with you. I'll support you, King David. You are my favourite uncle, my favourite king. I'm going to stick with you. I'm never going to leave you." But at the end of the day, what sort of a support was he? Let me ask you, what sort of a support are you? Wives, what type of support are you really to your husband? Really?
Oh yes, we'll say I will support you, but are you? Children, say I'll support you, mummy and daddy, but what type of a support are you? Really? Oh pastor, I'll support you. I love you, and this is my church. I'll never leave the church. Never. I've heard that before. Oh, I get nervous when somebody makes that statement. Every person that's made that statement to the day that has made that statement has eventually gone. So don't make that statement, please. It scares the life out of me. Oh, but pastor, I love you. This is my church. Well, are you really a support to this church? Or are you an Abishai? You mean well. May God help us to be a true support to the leadership structures within our lives for God's glory. And all of God's people said, let's be outstanding for them.